Deuteronomy 31, verses 1 to 8. So Moses went and spoke these words to all Israel. And he said to them, I am 120 years old today. I am no longer able to come and go, and the Lord has said to me, you shall not cross this Jordan. It is the Lord your God who will cross ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you shall dispossess them. Joshua is the one who will cross ahead of you, just as the Lord has spoken. The Lord will do to them just as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and to their land when he destroyed them. The Lord will deliver them up before you, and you shall do to them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Then Moses called to Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall give it to them as an inheritance. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed.
Morning. You are here, even with a time change. Good job. Have you heard this one? How many evangelicals does it take to change a light bulb? Change? Change? Who said anything about change? Well, if you haven't caught on yet, at our church here, there's a big change. Right? We've been waiting and praying, and now it's here. Andy and Caroline are here. Thank you for being here today even. Andy starts full-time tomorrow. And so besides interim pastorates, our pastors, he'll be the sixth permanent full-time pastor the church has had since it started in 1980. And so some changes happening. Expectations are probably pretty high, right? yours, mine, Andy and Caroline's, God's. Well, is there any help that we can receive today about pastoral transitions? That is, one pastor leaves and another one comes. The passage that Jeff just read from the book of Deuteronomy is that very thing. The people are standing on the edge of the promised land, and there's a big change, a change in leadership. Moses is going to hand off the reins to Joshua. Now, I'm certainly no Moses, and Andy wouldn't call himself Joshua. But I think there's some good things here that we can learn this morning about just leadership succession and sort of how that works and what's that all about and why is that? In our passage, you're going to see that God's going to speak to his people and he's going to speak to the leaders, part of the people, of course. We're going to learn God's part, our part, the pastor's part. So I've entitled this sermon, Meet Your New Pastor. He's going to first talk to us about leaders. God, through Moses, is going to speak to the people first. What is it that the people of God need to know about spiritual leadership? Well, here's the first thing they need to know, is that your human leaders change. Moses is speaking to all the people here, whatever, and he says, I'm no longer going to be your leader. Why is that? Well, I'm 120 years old. if 40 years sort of stands for this, for a complete generation, Moses has done that three times. If you can divide his life quickly into three parts, 40 years he grew up in Egypt. The next 40 years he was a shepherd. And these last 40 years he's been leading the people in the wilderness. And he says, I'm not going to be able to go with you. I can't lead you anymore because I'm not going to be there. But more importantly, it was the Lord's will. He says, the Lord has said to me, you shall not go over the Jordan River and into the Promised Land. That's not your calling, Moses. And we have that a couple places. Let me just read one. Numbers chapter 20. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community in the land I give them. Now, we won't look there, but if you remember Moses and Aaron, Moses, God told him to speak to a rock so water could come out and give water and refreshment to all the people. Well, Moses, kind of in his impatience and whatever, instead of just speaking, he struck it twice and kind of made a big deal of it. And God says, you know, Moses, that's going to cost you. You're not going to lead these people into the Promised Land. Now, you would expect the coach who got you to the finals, I'm in March Madness mood now, the coach that got you to the finals is going to take you into the finals. Not the assistant coach, but that's sort of what we have here. Moses has gotten them this far, and now someone else is going to lead them. Well, let's talk application here a little bit. That's sort of the so what question. What your human leaders changes. I started thinking a little bit about that. Why do churches have different pastors over the years? Well, there's different phases in the life of a church. Back here in Deuteronomy, Moses led the people in the desert. Joshua is going to lead them into the Promised Land. I led you through COVID, and now Andy's going to lead you out of it and into something else. Maybe stretching it a little bit, but you get the idea. Pastors have different personalities. You know, I think Moses was a very steady personality, a plodder. If you're going to spend 40 years wandering in the wilderness, you need a leader like that. General Joshua has a different personality. He's going to be more a military strategist. He's going to lead them into battle. That's going to take a different kind of personality and gifting. Me and Andy are different. We have different personalities, different strengths and weaknesses. And so leaders change because of that. I think they also change because there's just different needs in the group. Israelites needed, remember what they were doing, or were just coming out of, they had just spent several hundred years as slaves in Egypt. And now they finally left Egypt. And now they were just learning to become not no longer slaves, but the people of God. And through Moses, we get the Ten Commandments and the law from God, right? Through Moses. But Joshua, it's going to be a little different. He's going to teach them and lead them to be an organized army and a new nation. It's going to be different. Northfield Evangelical Free Church has gone through various phases and needs. And so God has brought Pastor Andy to help lead that next chapter in the life of our church. He's going to be full-time. He's going to live here. You guys just live a couple blocks. I don't know which way I'm pointing, but They're right here. So God says, your leaders change. Moses may be leaving, but you know what? God's not leaving. Your ultimate leader is God. And you can see how God is sort of describing that. He says, he'll go over before you. He'll clear out the land like he did before, verse 4. He will give them over to you, verse 5. He's going to go with you. He's got all sorts of things there that he talks about how God is the leader of Israel. Now, that's important for everybody to remember, right? It's probably a good word for Moses to hear. God may bury his workers, but he never buries his work. It keeps going. For Joshua, he's the new leader. Oh, God's going to go. He's going to be the ultimate leader. And that helps Joshua. The people realize that. Okay, we've had this same leader for 40 years, and now we have a different leader? Oh, no, but God's been our ultimate leader this whole time. And it's good for us to know that too, right? That God provides leadership. The mission was always the same. Get the people into the land that God had promised way back when to, I don't know how many generations back, to Father Abraham. That was always part of the plan. It looked like it had stalled out there in Egypt, but no, that was always what God had in mind, and now it's coming to fruition. So things can change in a body, in a church, with a group, right? The leaders can change, sometimes ministries change, whatever, but God doesn't change. Purpose of our church is still the same, right? Glorify God by making Jesus Christ the center of all we do. So God's speaking about leaders. He says, well, they change, but God doesn't change. Well, now God's going to speak to the leaders. God's going to speak directly to Joshua. Now, everybody else is listening, of course. So they can hear, well, what does God tell spiritual leaders? And I'm not going to just preach to the pastors here, but all you spiritual leaders, if you're an elder, you're a ministry director, you're a Sunday school teacher, you're a parent because you're the spiritual leader of your family. What does God say to you and me, to spiritual leaders? Well, let me give you four words. First one is this: commission. Moses summoned Joshua, right? He calls him up in front of the group or whatever. Now, who was this guy? He wasn't new. Joshua had been Moses' servant all along. The people knew him. Remember, he was one of the two spies, of the 12 spies, that gave a positive account and report. Joshua and Caleb said, the promised land, yeah, looks great, let's do it. And then the other 10 said, oh no, it's full of giants, we can't do it, we can't possibly do this. That was Joshua, said, we can do it. Now, did Moses summon Joshua? Did Moses choose Joshua? Well, no, God had chosen Joshua. This is Deuteronomy 31, early on. Deuteronomy chapter 1 says this: but your assistant, Joshua, will enter it. Encourage him because he will lead Israel to inherit it. Deuteronomy 3: but commission Joshua and encourage and strengthen him, for he will lead his people across and will cause them to inherit the land that you will see. So this is a commissioning of Joshua as the new leader. It's not a private little ceremony. It's public. Everybody can see it. We're going to do that in 2 weeks. Andy's installation service. Andy will be there, of course, as your new pastor. I'll be there as a former pastor. Andy's pastor from Arizona will be there. And a pastor from our district, the North Central District here in Minnesota, from the Free Church, will be here. And so it'll be a wonderful time. So that's in 2 weeks. Not Moses' choice. He's not rejecting Joshua, obviously, but it's God that has raised up Joshua. Hand-picked, says, this is the man that we're commissioning to have you go forward. They were excited, and they should have been. And he tells them, be strong and courageous. Leadership takes courage, doesn't it? Now, why would Joshua need to hear that? Be strong and courageous. Well, put yourself in Joshua's place for a little bit here. If the people aren't going to be fearful, then the leaders themselves, they need not to be fearful. So he says, be strong and courageous. But let's face it, Moses is kind of a hard act to follow, isn't he? Right? 40 years, 10 commandments. You saw the movie, right? Remember? He's got some big shoes to fill. Moses is 120. Joshua is at least 60 years old, probably more like 80. And what is his job? It's going to be mission impossible. Go into the promised land, defeat all the people, and move a million or so people into the land. And the fact is, this is something brand new. They've never done it before. Where is the... Can I go to at least a training seminar? Or is there a notebook that tells how you do this? Nope. God says, I'll show you the way. Well, whether you're a new or a seasoned pastor, I got to tell you, pastoring takes courage. This past year, there's been some fear, and it's taken courage, hasn't it, for us to move forward through the unknowns, through the trying to figure things out with COVID and the uncertainties. And just then, when you kind of get sort of know what you're doing, then things change again. It takes courage. This is Andy's first pastorate, and I know that you are going to, just like you have with me, encourage him. I like that word. That means give courage to this leader. Parents. Years ago, James Dobson wrote a book, Parenting Isn't for Cowards. I have to agree with that. To be a parent, you need some courage. Whether you're just starting your family and your kids are young, or they're teenagers, or they're grown adults, and you think, oh good, they're finally out of the house and I'm done parenting. Not quite yet. You still have to parent them, don't you? The roles change and whatever, but you're still the parents. And so it takes courage to be a spiritual leader. Give me another word. Command. He's going to command them. What's the command? You're going to go with these people. You yourself. And you must divide it among them as an inheritance. We're going to do this. You, Joshua. You as the leader. If these people are going to be inspired to do something new, and bold and courageous, you're going to have to be there right with them and help do it. Think of the book of Joshua, where they come up with different, up against different enemies, and each time God sort of has a different plan as to how he wants them to defeat them and take them. And we won't rehearse all of them, but let me just remind you, probably one of the most famous ones in the book of Joshua is Jericho. Remember that silly story? Joshua, I want you to march around the city 7 times and then blow a trumpet. And that'll be it. What? I'm not going to follow that plan. What kind of goofy plan is that? But Joshua did. He obeyed God's commands with all of those different approaches and when to move and what to do and when to wait. And I've appreciated getting to know Andy a little bit in this process. And I appreciate his commitment to follow the Lord's commands, both in public life and in private life, in ministry and in marriage, and even in the mundane. He follows God. And that's what we need in a spiritual leader. Commission, courage, command. One final word, confidence. Basically saying you can trust God's promises. Let's look at it there. There's some right there in one verse. The Lord goes before you. He's not going to sit back and watch. Boy, I sure hope this works out. Good luck. No, no, no. He's going before them. He's leading the way. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. He's not going to fail you. Right? Now, the people are, remember, they've been in the wilderness for 40 years. It wasn't great, obviously, but that's what they knew. That's what they had lived. Within 40 years, some of those people had been born in the wilderness, and that's all they knew. And now they're going to do something different. A challenge. They were going to go from wandering nomads to an army and be a nation. God says, don't worry. I'm there. I'm with you. In fact, I'm going before you. I'll be behind you. I'll be right with you. And I'll never forsake you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. The New Testament repeats that in the book of Hebrews. Quotes that part of the verse. That is, God will never renounce you or give you up or just say, I've had it with you. You're on your own. No, he doesn't do that. Now, you and I may fall short. We may mess up. But God's promise is that he'll be there. And that gives not just Joshua the leader, but all of us, confidence. We can do this. So God speaks about spiritual leaders, and he speaks to spiritual leaders. Springtime, I think of spring sports. Both our boys were in sports in high school. One played baseball in the spring and the other ran track. And several times in track, I got to be the timer for different things. Parent Debbie and I helped. That was a great way to get to know our community and serve. We were parents of kids in the school, so that was a natural thing. Anyway, one of my favorite events in track and field are the relay races. You know what those are. Not just one person running, but a team, usually four, handing off a baton. It's kind of a wooden, but now they're metal, baton that you carry. There we go. The first guy runs and carries it the whole way and then hands it off to the second guy and the third guy and the fourth guy. It's really important in the relay race because the race can be won or lost by the handoff. you have a certain distance on the track that you have to do that in. And God forbid that you would drop the baton on the exchange. Sometimes that does happen. And it can make all the difference in whether you win or you lose as a team. In our passage today, Moses is handing off the baton to Joshua. And that's what I'm trying to do today. If you haven't caught on to that, I'm handing off the leadership baton to Pastor Andy Clare. We want it to be good. We want it to be smooth. We want it to be public, right? No secret. But ultimately, like we've said, God is the one who we run for, who we lead his people for, who we live our life for. God is the one to do that. Anyway, meet your new pastor. Obviously, our leader is Jesus. As we close today, I want to do something that Jesus did. We call it the Lord's Supper or communion or the Last Supper. That was a time of transition, wasn't it? The last several days of Jesus' earthly life, he calls his disciples together. It's the end of Jesus' life. It's transitioning from his earthly life to sort of his death on the cross. And he's not sad because he knows what that's going to mean for them. But let me read a couple of verses from Luke 22, where, again, the context is the Last Supper. Start in verse 14, it says, "When the hour came, he reclined at table and the apostles with him." Right? You remember the scene. "And he said to them, 'I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer.'" Jesus looks forward to his time with his disciples. I think we should look forward to our fellowship with Jesus. We sometimes call that communion, right? We commune with Jesus. That is, we talk to him. We tell him our joys, concerns. We confess our sins. We thank him for our salvation. We thank him for answered prayer. So if you would, take your communion cup and wafer there. Peel off the little top part and just take out the bread. I'll give you a quick moment to just talk to the Lord and I'll pray. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you do want to fellowship with us. You want to be with us. And we want to be with you. Your death and then your resurrection made that possible. Not only for paying for our sins, but then you're alive. We can talk to you. We can be with you. We can fellowship with you. And so thank you, Lord, as we take the bread, we remember your body broken for us. Let's do that together. Let me read the next verse. He says, "I've desired to eat this with you. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Part of the reason that Jesus wanted to be with the disciples and eat a meal with him was a pledge for a future time. Until something else happens. Until the end of time. When Jesus comes back and the kingdom is consummated and we... The Bible calls it the marriage supper of the Lamb, where we sit together with all believers from all times Here's how the book of Hebrews puts it. Jesus, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising its shame. Part of the joy that Jesus had, even on the cross, was he knew that one day we'd sit with him around that banquet table in victory and great joy. And so part of our celebration, I believe, in taking the Lord's Supper is not just a look in the past or even in the present, but also in the future. That someday ultimate victory would be enjoyed. So let me pray for the cup and then we'll participate together. Lord, as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim your death until you come. And that little phrase is a promise that you will come, you will return, not as a suffering servant, but as victorious king. And so today we thank you for that. We celebrate that. We look forward to that. Thank you, Jesus, for your death and your resurrection. We do this now with great joy. Amen. Let's participate together. We have a closing song, Jesus Messiah. You know, in the Old Testament, the people had waited a long time for this Jesus. When is he going to come? When is this going to happen? Well, we're on the other side of that, of course. Jesus Messiah. We realize that that's who it is. And so we're going to celebrate that with this song, Jesus Messiah. So let's stand and sing together.